Okay, welcome to a very special bonus episode. You never know when these are coming. It was always my plan to pepper them in every, I don't know, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. Well, it's been about 7+ months since the last bonus episode out of nowhere for your Dan time listening pleasure. And wouldn't you know, it's my own flesh and blood, my older brother, Robert, Rob as we call him, Rob McCardle, back on the show today. And this is a special beach vacation recap or in progress conversation. So I had a few minutes, Robert's got a few minutes, and we talked about it over the weekend and said, let's do it. Let's do a call. Let's give the people what they've been waiting for. Robert, how's it going today?
That's going great. We got a pretty bad storm going on, so I'm kind of stuck in the condo, but reading a book and just relaxing, and I'll probably open up the bar here pretty soon.
Well, it's never too early when you're on vacation.
That's right.
My rule of thumb was always after the lunch hour, some people start popping tops at 8 a.m., 9 a.m., a little early for me, but
I can't do this. That's too early for me. On vacation, 1:30, 2 o'clock, I think would be the earliest for me.
Isn't there something to be said about just enjoying some eggs and some bacon and some coffee and not some whiskey can we wait just a few hours?
Yeah, I've got no problem with that. I'm gonna let these. I had some really delicious donuts this morning, so I want to let them settle before I start pairing them with whiskey and vodka and beer.
Would you ever go? Run down to Thomas's Donuts, get a dozen glazed or maybe a mixed variety, and come back and pair your donuts with a tall glass of Tito's?
No. I mean, if I really wanted to get sick,
or
that'd
platinum.
Be a great way to do it.
Yeah. Folks, do as you will, do as you must, but just enjoy those morning hours on the beach or wherever you are on vacation, and the booze can wait. I'm not preaching to you. I'm not. Anyway, you are on day number 3, is it?
Yes, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah, technically it's day 3.5. We got down here Friday night, but this will be our third full day down here.
And tell the folks where you are.
We are at Ocean Reef in Panama City Beach, Florida. It's kind of, along the beach. It's probably at the halfway point of where the, Panama City Beach starts and where it ends. Nice little place. It's about 25 stories high. We're on the 20th floor. Not too crowded, just like we like it. And it is what it is. That's where we are.
Now, Panama City Beach has some special significance to you, to me, to Travis. This was the destination when we were babies. I think the first several years of being kids, we were visiting Panama City Beach at least once a year by way of Chicago, by way of Northern Virginia, Florence, Alabama, Birmingham. And then I guess the families got tired of the riffraff, maybe, and the souvenir stands and the just kind of beach bum image of the place, and kind of moved to a little bit more, moved up the ladder, I guess, and down the beach. And it was, I'm sure you remember when that change was made, it was far less exciting to be a little ways down the beach on the kind of the secluded areas, which are actually now much more developed.
Yeah, but now in my soon-to-be 46-year-old body, mind, whatever, I can appreciate why the adults who planned the trip and who paid for the trip would rather be on that side than at Panama City. You know, Panama City has grown up so much, and it is really just a bunch of, you know, drunk college kids, which, you know, also attracts some of the riffraff. They are, the city is making an effort to try to attract more families, and I've started to notice that, but you still get your elements over here. So I can appreciate why they wanted to move further down to Blue Mountain, but didn't like it at the time.
I did not either. I can remember some of those. Yeah, you come in the evening, you're excited. Okay, we're going to be here for a week. You wake up the next day, you're 11, you're 12 or 13 years old, and you're thinking, where are the girls my age? I'm going walking out on the beach. There's nobody here. Well, not nobody. There's like an older couple over there, about 500 yards away. But we're here to talk about your beach trip and what you're doing now. And a little bit later, we'll talk about what we used to do. So you get in, pretty decent weather, I'm sure, the first couple of days.
Oh, it was beautiful this weekend, except for today. But yeah, it's great.
What do you do when you get everything up the elevator that first evening and you get set? What's the first thing you do when you're just minutes into this vacation?
Other than taking a shower, because I had worked a full day, I would pour a drink, you know, sit down, take a breath, have a toast with the wife, and just kind of soak it all in that, hey, this is vacation. It's just starting. It's going to be a lot of fun, and just kind of look forward to the week ahead.
Do you go out on the balcony and
yes.
Do you like to sit with your thoughts for a few minutes? Do you like to go ahead and turn on the player and get your playlist going? And
I like to turn on the player and just sit and just relax and listen to that beach music, whatever relaxes me, have a nice drink and just kind of take it all in.
When you guys are kind of planning for the week ahead, are you and Nancy big planners on a beach trip? Like, okay, this is what we're going to do Tuesday. This is what Wednesday morning's going to look like. Do you play it by ear? And do you have things plugged in that you'd like to do? And we'll just see if we can work that in. Or do you know exactly which restaurant you're going to, exactly which attraction?
We know what we want to do. We just don't plan which day we're going to do it. We just kind of decide that day, okay, well, we're going to go here to eat, and we're going to go do this later. And you know, later we might do this. It's not like, okay, well, Wednesday we're going to play miniature golf, and Thursday, you know, we're going to go get lunch at, you know, one of these restaurants or whatever. It's just kind of get up and you decide that day what you want to do.
Now, when we were kids, you've experienced this, I've experienced this, you get that day one sunburn that can sometimes really ruin the entire week. Are you pretty careful on that first day and realizing, hey, I've been out in the sun a little bit for work, maybe don't have to worry about it as much as I used to, but I don't want to get completely toasted here.
And especially, you know, at my age now, you know, I make sure that I've got enough sunscreen on. But also, you know, I try to stay out of the sun anyway because I burn. And so I really try to pay attention to that. I remember one year when I was a kid, I had sunburned my feet so bad that they were almost purple. And I couldn't wear shoes the rest of the trip. And it was awful. It burned, and there was really no relief from it. It was hard to walk. It was hard to do anything. So definitely, you know, want to wear the sunscreen, stay out of the sun. Because, yeah, as you said, a sunburn can really ruin a vacation.
Yeah, I seem to remember that time, and I felt so bad. We must have been around 10, 11, 12 years old.
Yeah.
Does Nancy, as most good wives, or, you know, if it's your husband, does she help you with those hard to reach areas, the middle back, where you don't have to put some on your forearm and try to, and then you go out there and you wonder if you've got every little spot? Does she help you really steadfastly getting that back of yours lathered up?
Well, I don't use the cream. I use the spray-on stuff, but she doesn't ask. She just does it. You know, even if I protest, she still insists on getting all those hard-to-reach places.
Now tell me about your trunks of choice for this trip. Do you have a couple in the rotation, or do you have one set of swimming trunks that you're down with for this week?
I have one set. It's kind of black and gray, and it fits me perfectly where I don't even have to tie that string.
That's the best.
Nothing annoys me more than having to, you know, tie that string and having to untie it when you got to go to the bathroom or something, then tie it back. This, I can just put these on and they stay on. And I plan to wear those the whole week.
Robert, Panama City Beach. I just don't think that those memories really get too far from our thoughts. Hopefully some of the cousins listen to these episodes, or hopefully this one. Robert, will you ever be over Miracle Strip Amusement Park being disassembled?
No, I won't. I think it was such a waste that they tore it down to build condominiums. And then the deal fell through, and it's still a vacant lot. There's nothing there. They tore down this wonderful place. And, it's something that, you know, whenever I drive past it, you feel it. You feel that loss. So, yeah, it is sad. So many good memories there.
Reading the Wikipedia page, it was in 2004. I remember reading this in the newspaper.
Yeah,
living in Birmingham at the time. The final season, and this is a decades-long run, I think from the 60s to September 5th, 04.
Yeah.
Many rides were sold and, you know, relocated to other parks around the country, around the world, I think, or simply disappeared, but others remained slowly decaying. According to the Wikipedia page under the demise section.
I mean, up until just a few years ago, you could see the shell of the Abominable Snowman still there, and the shell of the Dante's Inferno. I think I remember seeing that about 10 or 11 years ago, but the Abominable Snowman, I could have sworn I still saw it just a couple of years ago, but now there's nothing there.
And the famous Starliner roller coaster. Thought I heard a rumor that this thing had gone to Australia maybe, and could be back in the States somewhere. I don't know if it's even still in operation.
I heard that it went to somewhere in South Florida.
That's right. I'll try to get confirmation on that.
That little train that they had, I don't know if you remember that, you know, little kids would ride, and it would take you back in the woods, that Miracle Strip. That was moved actually to the Birmingham Zoo. I don't know if it's still there, but it was moved to the zoo. But I don't know what happened to the rest of the rides. Sure is a shame. We had such good memories, such good times there.
The Starliner roller coaster was Florida's first roller coaster, originally built in 1963 for
I didn't know that.
The Miracle Strip Amusement Park, Panama City Beach. Moving on to our memories, though, how much fun. You know, some of those nights when we're at the park, we're going in and we were talking about this the other day. Some of the rides like the Abominable Snowman, Dante's Inferno, Music Express, Sea Dragon.
Yep.
Strolling around the park. Of course, the cotton candy, the ice cream, the hot dogs, the corn dogs. And remember, we'd be in line for the roller coaster. It took a few years either for us to reach the height minimum or get up the courage to ride the roller coaster.
Right. Yeah.
And being in line and looking at the vehicles on the strip outside the park, and our little minds were thinking, they're missing out. What are they doing over there? They're missing. All the fun is over here.
And they're probably thinking the same thing about us.
Right.
But I do remember thinking, though, know, yeah, this Miracle Strip's right here, and you guys are just walking around the beach. What are you doing? Get on the roller coaster. And, of course, those people had other plans in mind.
Yeah, it's, I mean, 1988, 89. I mean, it was a lot of fun being a kid at that time with the sounds of Def Leppard and Poison in the air.
Yeah.
But imagine it being 19 or 20 or 21.
Oh, my gosh. That would have been great.
But some of those beach trips where we had a lot of fun on the beach, but remember, we really couldn't wait to go to Miracle Strip or Shipwreck Island.
Yeah.
Now, Shipwreck Island survived.
It did, but it's not the same. It's they tore down Skull Island, and now it's basically a water park for, you know, little kids, like toddlers and, you know, maybe 6-7-year-old kids. They still got the pirate ship, they still got the wave pool, but it's not the same as what it used to be.
Well, considering my kids' ages...
Oh, they'd love it.
I've got to make a special trip out there for them.
Yeah, your kids would have a blast there.
When you go to the beach on a week like this, I think this is why the beach, whether that is the Atlantic coast, the Pacific coast, or beaches around the world, why people love going, because it reminds you of your childhood. Or happy childhood memories, even if you had some not so happy memories. Remember, there would be times where you didn't have the best school year, you didn't like your teacher, you didn't like your school, but by the time the summer came around, you went on that beach trip, and man, what a
and
great...
And all your troubles kind of go away. You know, you can kind of forget about what, you know, is going on in your real life back at home. You know, you got the sand, you got the water, you've got the sunsets. There's nothing bad, you know, unless you're in a dysfunctional family or something. I mean, coming down to the beach, you're there to make good memories. So, yeah, I think that's what draws people to it. There's just nothing like it.
I think I've mentioned this to somebody else before. When you're actually sitting in a chair, a beach chair, looking out at the water, the wonderful thing about that experience and connecting it to memories is the beach never changes. I mean, yes, it does. The ebb and flow of the tide and the landscape changes a little bit, but the beach, the sand, and the water, it's how you remember it.
Exactly. I mean, the second sandbar looks exactly the same as it did, you know, back in 1989.
Right.
I mean, all of it. Yeah. I don't know. There's just nothing like it. I wish I could live down here full time.
Well, and we've talked about this, and I hope it becomes a reality in the next 5 years.
That would be nice.
So, all right, when the weather kind of throws a curveball at you and you're stuck in the condo for a day or two, what do you got? What books do you bring to the beach?
Well, you know, I'm not really much of a reader when we're at home, but when we come to the beach, I'd certainly love to get lost in a book. Right now, I am currently reading This Wretched Valley by Jennifer Kiefer. It's about a hiking expedition gone wrong. And then next, I'll be reading You Shouldn't Have Come Here by Geneva Rose, about two people staying at a farmhouse and something bad happens, I think. So,
wow.
That's what I'm reading. One of the first things I like to do, like on our first full day here at the beach, is go find a bookstore and look for a good book to just kind of get lost in during the week, because it takes me several days, you know, to read a book, whereas, you know, Nancy can read the whole book in a couple of hours. I usually get a couple of books, and that's my reading time.
Yeah, I've known Nancy to be a speed reader.
Yes.
I don't know. Now I'm curious if one can become a speed reader, if it's something that you just have an innate power.
I think it's something you can learn, but I think it is probably also a lot of speed readers are just born with that gift.
Nancy also, I remember her saying that she will revisit books, and she likens it to revisiting old friends, you know, fictional books that have characters, character development, and thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
It's very easy. I'm guilty of it myself. It's really easy to kind of get lost in your phone, and before you know it, 37 minutes have gone by. Maybe for some people, 2 hours have gone by, and all you've been doing is scrolling and looking at some, momentarily funny videos.
Yeah.
But if you can put that phone on a counter out of reach and grab a book and just get lost in that one book, I really think people would be surprised how enjoyable it is.
Yeah, but I think we're past that now. I think everybody's so addicted to their phones that this is where we're headed, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm like you. I can put the phone down. I could care less, what's on social media. I might pick it up to read a couple news headlines. But other than that, don't need it.
Robert, when you get into a good book, especially at the beach, do you like to jump into one of those living room chairs and pull both legs up onto the seat and kind of curl up and lean to one side maybe and get nestled up against a pillow? Or are you kind of sitting there, just man style and holding the book with the two hands and just...
Man style, sitting there with the two hands. Normally I like to take my beach chair down to the sand, pitch the tent and read there. Unfortunately today it's storming. I can't do that. So, I'm on the couch, but I'm sitting upright.
Let's go back to water parks for a second. Maybe we were talking about this the other day, but water slides, are you a fan? You remember some of the old ones at Shipwreck Island that would, if you weren't careful back then as a kid, they'd tear up your back, but I don't think they got much better.
They're the same. I mean, they still have those three blue water slides that are pretty rough.
It's just like painted over cement.
Yeah.
Concrete.
And then they got the other ones that are real high, but I'm not really a fan. I'm always afraid if I get on one of those water slides, I'm going to fall off the side. Like I'm going to bounce off of something and fall off the side, which I won't, but it's, it's there in the back of my mind.
That would be quite terrifying.
Yeah, that would.
You and Nancy like to go out. Is there a pier nearby?
Yeah, there's two of them. We're actually probably right smack in the middle of both the piers, so... Yeah, we might make a trip to one of them. I know when we go to Pensacola, we usually try to go out of the pier there. So, yeah, that's something fun to do.
Now, tell me a little bit about your playlist. If maybe you've got a couple for different, maybe even different moods at the beach. Or do you have one? Or do you just kind of hit random?
I usually like to listen to... some 80s pop music and some 70s rock for the beach. I think I had Huey Lewis in the News and the Cars and had some Belinda Carlisle and there was some Paul McCartney on there and some other stuff. And then occasionally just, in between everything, I might throw in, Slayer and Motorhead just to make it a little unpredictable. But usually I like to stick with the 70s and the 80s and maybe throw a little bit of hair metal or glam in for the beach. That feels like beach music to me.
Do you ever, in general, do you get tired of Poison's Nothing But a Good Time?
Yeah, I've heard it so many times. And when I'm listening to bands like that, I like to listen to their deep tracks. There's some really good ones that were never released as singles. But yeah, I mean, I don't need to hear Nothing But a Good Time again. I don't need to hear Dr. Feelgood. I don't need to hear Living on a Prayer.
Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yeah, exactly. If it comes on the radio, fine. But I'm not just, I'm not putting that on my playlist.
What about Round and Round?
That's another one, I mean, I love rap, but Round and Round, I've heard it a million times. I'd rather listen to something deep off of, Out of the Cellar or, Invasion of Your Privacy or, one of their other Detonator. And the same with, Skid Row. I like 18 in Life, just heard it a million times. I'll try to go for something deeper.
I think there's two songs that come to mind for me that I could probably put on the shelf forever. That's Come On, Feel the Noise and
Oh My Gosh,
Rock You Like a Hurricane. I think I'm just done.
Yeah. Put those on the shelf. Don't ever listen to them again.
I've heard Eddie Trunk even say that there's some of the big monster hits that he goes to a lot of concerts still, and he says, I don't need to hear them. I don't have to hear it anymore.
No, I mean, I don't have to hear Inner Sandman. I mean, I like the song, but I don't have to hear it. I've heard it a million times. Or, you know, Cherry Pie. There's definitely like Dr. Feelgood, Kickstart My Heart. But I'm definitely with you on Rock You Like a Hurricane. I don't care if I ever hear that song ever again.
I kind of have the same thoughts when it comes to classic rock, FM radio, and certain Steve Miller Band songs come on, or
REO's Rockin' Me Baby.
Yeah, or Taking Care of Business, some of the REO Speedwagon songs that come on. I'm thinking the people who are listening to this right now in their workday, they've been familiar with this song for going on 50 years. And these songs have never been far from the radio. And I'm thinking, who needs this still?
But the program managers, I mean, they've got some kind of a system or algorithm. That's what they do. When I first, got my job as a truck driver, I couldn't figure out how to plug my phone in so I could listen to my music, and had to listen to FM radio. I think it was 106.9. And I heard, American Pie. I heard Sweet Home Alabama. I heard and just the same stuff. I heard Barracuda, I think twice in a span of 4 hours. It was maddening.
And the thing is, at one time, these songs were great. They were groundbreaking, but there's a reason. I mean, it's not confined to rock and roll. You turn on an R&B station and you might hear there's certain staples or Al Green songs or Marvin Gaye songs. It's like there's plenty more songs in the catalog, but they just keep coming back to the same ones.
Well, you take a band like Aerosmith or Deep Purple, they have such a huge catalog, but all you hear is Dream On, Walk This Way, and Smoke on the Water. And that's it. They have so many other songs. It's the same with a lot of bands. Even Skinner. I mean, I don't need to hear Sweet Home Alabama and Freebird. They got other songs that are pretty good.
Another band that comes to mind is Dokken. And for the number of albums that Dokken has released, I think the primary songs that you hear are, what is it, Breaking the Chains and In My Dreams?
Yeah. Occasionally you might get Dream Warriors, but pretty much Breaking the Chains, In My Dreams, or Alone Again. But
It's Not Love.
Go listen to the rest of, Tooth and Nail or Back for the Attack, some of these albums, and there's some good stuff on there. But all you're hearing is, In My Dreams, It's Still the Same,
Do you think Don himself is ever disappointed when he listens to Hair Nation or something and just like, they're still playing my music, but it'd be nice to hear another cut there every once in a while?
No, because, I think he's getting a royalty every time they play, In My Dreams. So he probably doesn't care. I care. I mean, I quit listening to Hair Nation because it was like classic rock stations. You're just hearing the hits.
I don't know if you remember this 2008 release from Dokken.
Lightning Strikes?
Lightning Strikes Again.
Yeah, that's a good album.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, I remember first hearing it and thinking, wow, they've gone back to their signature sound. Because they were doing some pretty awful stuff in the late 90s. They were trying to be, you know, alternative rock, and that just didn't work. Like a lot of those bands. I like that Warrant album, Ultraphobic, but it doesn't sound like Warrant. And I like Generation Swine from Motley Crue, but it doesn't sound like Motley Crue. You know, I became a fan of your band because you sound like this, not like this.
Right.
Yeah. I thought Lightning Strikes was a good album. I don't listen to it that much, but when I do, I rock out.
Well, and so when you go on vacation, music is always a big part of it, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just, you know, just put on some good beach music, some good relaxing music. And then, like I did, you know, a few minutes down at the beach, I was blasting Slayer and Bathory and Motorhead and a couple other, you know, a little bit heavier bands. And then turn it right back to, you know, 38 Special and Yes and Don Henley.
Now, when you say blasting, and we're talking about, it's right about lunchtime here when we're recording. Is this blasting in your ears or out on the beach and everyone is getting exposed to
It's out on the beach.
Slayer.
And if you get close enough, you're getting exposed to it. Now, I'm not going to turn it up to 11, but I can turn it up, you know, loud enough to where it sounds good to me, but it's still the wind's blowing. And, you know, if you're 20 feet away, you can't really hear it that much. But yeah, if you get close enough, you're going to get an earful of Slayer and Metallica. And I mean, it's kind of like a drug. I mean, I love the beach music and I love listening to that, but I do need to get my daily dose of metal.
Yeah.
So even if it's just for 15 minutes, it's like I'm getting a fix or something.
It seems more common when you go out on the beach and you're walking to your spot, you're going to set up at a certain spot and you pass by people and they've got their music playing.
Yeah.
Some of them rather loud. It kind of comes with it, I guess. And if you want to get away from the music, there's usually, depending on the time of year, I mean, right now it's still before Memorial Day, so you could probably spread out a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's a nice crowd down here, but it's not overwhelming. The only thing I don't like is, you know, we sit up on a spot and not a whole lot of people around us, and then some couple shows up with their parents, and then they bring, you know, six or seven little kids, and they park, you know, about 10 feet from us. That's kind of annoys me a little bit, but it's not really that bad.
Now, what are the kids doing? Or do you have the kids with you this trip?
Yeah, we do.
Is there full family engagement, or are people kind of doing what they want to be doing?
Usually people are doing what they want to be doing. I mean, we do, you know, we'll do some things as a family, but like during the day right now, Leland might be, you know, doing her art thing that she likes to do, and Felix and Anna Hope are playing some game on their phones. Andrew and Kat are playing their whatever games they play. I'm reading a book. Nancy's reading a book. But then later we may all, you know, go out to dinner, or we've been talking about going to this place across the street called Funland and playing some skee ball.
Funland?
Yeah.
Seems like I remember that.
It looks like it's been there for decades.
I think there was an arcade that we went to.
It could be it. I mean, it is an arcade, but they have, you know, it also says burgers, pizza, beer.
Oh, yeah.
Skee ball and prizes.
What more do you need? That was one of my favorite things as a kid. You get down there and you'd see the signs like that and the cartoonish font. And it would just everything you'd want anyway. It would say ice cream, pizza, hot dogs, fun, games.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
And you don't really outgrow that. I guess some people do, but when I get down to the beach, I kind of do feel like a kid again, a kid with many more responsibilities.
Yeah. But I mean, I haven't played skee ball in probably at least 30 years. So I believe that I'm looking forward to doing that.
Well, you'll get another chance to hit that 50 the 50-point little bucket.
That's right.
At the top of the incline. I get to play sometimes with the kids because we go to the arcades again.
Yeah.
And skee ball never goes out of style. I really want to just keep talking about this for another hour, but might start losing some people here. What are some, you know, some people go to the beach and they've got all sorts of things planned and itinerized. And some people go deep sea fishing. Some people go snorkeling. Some people go on, you know, various excursions and things like that. And some people are just like, hey, I don't have to work for a week. I'm already busy enough during my week. I just want to be here and go to some restaurants, go to some amusement attractions, put my toes in the sand, and whatever else happens. I'm just trying to relax. I am just trying to chill out. Is that your approach, or somewhere in the middle? Or
that's my approach. Just chill out, relax. Don't really have an itinerary. Just kind of go with the flow. Go where the wind takes you or whatever. You know, wake up, hey, why don't we go do this today? We didn't plan to get donuts this morning. We just woke up and was like, let's go check out that donut place across the street. Yeah, so stuff like that. I don't want to be saddled with a plan. You know, just want to do what I want to do.
And Robert, remember when we were probably more like 7 or 8 years old, and we would be down at Pier 99, maybe one of the trips from the 80s where we didn't stay at a big high rise. We stayed at a little mom and pop motel.
Yeah.
And Meg and Rebecca and Walt and gonna forget somebody, but me, you, Travis, we'd go to our parents in the morning and get a couple dollars in quarters. And we couldn't wait to find out what they had in the vending machines at this particular motel. It was like that. We went to any little roadside motel. You just, do you remember that? You know, are they going to have this knee-high drink or this Fanta that I never see back home or these candies? And
yeah, I do. That was always exciting.
And just running around all day long.
Did you know that they tore down Pier 99? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I wonder how long it lasted in that condition.
I don't know. I mean, it's a high rise where it is now. We were at Pineapple Willie's yesterday, and I was looking around, just kind of looking up to see if Pier 99 where it was. And it's no longer there.
Well, it remains alive in our memories.
It does. A lot of strange memories there.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll save some of those for another episode. But yeah, I remember just those old beach trips, the cousins, the aunts and uncles, all the 2 and 3 liter 7-Up.
Yes.
Coke, Dr. Pepper. Don't see as many of the 2 liters and people pouring soft drinks into cups like you used to.
No.
Man, probably a lot of booze on the table, and some of those 2 liters were acting as mixers.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. I think everybody that was of age was drinking back then. You know, I mean, even, you know, our grandparents were knocking them back then.
Yeah. And real quickly, Robert, do you remember, I'm sure you do, when we formed the lip-syncing band, the Hawaiian Kids?
yeah, we could have been huge.
I don't remember exactly the arrangement, who was playing which instrument, which air guitar, air drums. Do you remember who the players were?
I don't. There's a picture of us playing, but I don't remember who was what.
And if I remember correctly, didn't we play Open Up and Say Ah, beginning to end? That was our set list.
I don't know. we played several. I mean, I know we know, we rocked out some Poison, but that would have been funny.
I think
that was our set list.
I think we did one performance at the house back home in Birmingham, and then we did another one at the beach.
Yeah.
And then we disbanded.
Yeah. We had just had, we were going in separate directions.
Yeah. I mean, that happens with a lot of bands, but. All right. Well, I have completely enjoyed reminiscing with you and talking about what you're doing currently at the beach. You know,
yeah,
I don't live very far from the Gulf Coast. I mean, we're a short drive, but it's not the same as Panama City Beach.
No, it's not. Nothing is like Panama City Beach in the 1980s, and there'll never be anything like it again.
Well said. Well, Robert, enjoy the rest of your trip. I hope the weather clears up, and say hi to Nancy for me. Say hi to the kids. And
I will.
This has been a lot of fun. I hope we covered everything that we could think of.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we could talk for hours, but yeah, your listeners would be like, I don't know who these people are.
All right. Yeah. Well, have fun, and we will reconnect for another episode. I think people enjoy the brotherly conversation, and one thing that I would impart on you, you, Robert, but for those of you listening to the show, if you've got a sibling and you haven't talked to them in a while and you don't know if they want to talk to you, but you've been kind of thinking about it, like, well, maybe I should pick up the phone. Here's your way in. I want you to call that brother or that sister that you haven't talked to in 3 weeks or 3 years and say, hey, listen, now I know we haven't talked in a while, but I was listening to the Dan Time podcast and he's talking to his brother. And at the end, he said, I should call you. So here I am. I'm calling you. So there's your reason. You've been sitting there on the sidelines for a while. You don't know how to open the conversation. Use me as an excuse. Get that line back open. Fewer things are as important in life as keeping the bonds strong with your family. Now, there's always exceptions, and there's people in your life who are out of your life for very good reason, and they don't ever need to come back. So there's some exceptions, but if there's something trivial that happened a number of years ago and you just got stuck in limbo, you don't know where to pick it back up, here's your way back in. Give it a shot. All right. That was a little deeper than I was expecting, but Robert, enjoy the rest of your week, and can't wait to see you all and hang out again soon.
Can't wait. This was a treat. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, and we'll see you next Sunday or this Sunday on the Dan Time podcast. Thank you, Robert.
All right, appreciate it.